Good morning. It's good to be back with you. I enjoyed about 3,400 miles of driving since I saw you last. We did get back Wednesday night at 8:05 and got the van unloaded by about 8:15. So sorry we missed Wednesday night Bible class. We left earlier than we did the last time we were down there. It's just we didn't have as many orange cones as we had this time. This is orange cone season. And if you're planning a trip, plan extra time. If you have your Bibles, we're in Titus. If you're looking for Titus, God was kind enough to put all the Bible books that begin with the letter T together right before Hebrews, back in the back of your New Testament. There's a little book Philemon in there for one page, but all the T's together, and the last one's Titus. And so right before Hebrews, you're going to find Titus. Titus is a preacher that Paul left in Crete to set things in order, to establish congregations, to put elders in every congregation. And he's trying to train him on things to do. And in this passage, he shows us the nature of Christ and the nature of Christ in us that should be at the heart of everything we do and everything we are. So let's join in Titus chapter 3, where we're going to be here. The kindness of God appeared. And I just love that picture, by the way. I thought that was a good one. Now, when we were in terrible need of kindness, He appeared. The kindness of God appeared. Verse 3 and 4. It says, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Okay? When the kindness and love of God our Savior. Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's called Savior and Lord. He's called Emmanuel. Of all the names of Jesus, my favorite one is the kindness of God our Savior. He is the kindness of God. A little kid in Bible class one time said Jesus is the best picture God ever had took of himself. Okay, grammatically it's got problems, but theologically it's pretty good. Okay, Jesus is God in the flesh. How would God show kindness? Jesus is the kindness of God. Everything he did, everything he is the kindness of God. He says, now, we were bad off. Look, how bad off were they? Look at all that stuff in verse 3. Okay, we were deceived, we were enslaved, we were disobedient, we were foolish, we were enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, we hated. What's your life like without Jesus? Like that? Anybody want to go back to that? I want to go back to that. When the kindness of God appeared, He saved us. The kindness of God is what saved us. If you go to Romans chapter 2, verse 4, he says, know ye not, don't you know that it's the kindness of God that moves men to repentance? What encourages repentance, what encourages the kind of repentance God wants in our lives is the kindness of God. If you're not practicing the kindness of God, you're not encouraging anybody to repent. Well, man, I told them what was right and I told them what they were doing wrong. Oh, that is going to help. Okay? No. You know, it doesn't say go you therefore and pin their ears to the wall. It's not in the Bible. Okay? It's not about proving that you're right and they're wrong, because you're wrong too. They're wrong and so are we. But He's right. And He's right because He's kind. Every time. Okay, He's the kindness of God and He saved us. Now, how great was our need for the kindness of God? All those things that said in there? Yeah, that's us, isn't it? We were enslaved to things. Paul said in Romans 6, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that though we were the servants of sin, we've obeyed from the heart that form of teaching which was delivered us, being then made free from sin, we became the servants of righteousness. Amen. You're going to be a slave. Pick the right master. Now, Why would the Apostle Paul describe Jesus as the kindness of God? Because that's who he is. He is the kindness of God. Everything he did, hugging little kids, I love that picture. You know, I'm the lamb, and he meets my individual need, right? He meets your individual need. He'll take care of you, hopefully, all the way to Oregon and hopefully back. But he's going, wherever you are, he'll take care of you. Now, the kindness of God saved us when we didn't deserve to be saved. Look at verses 5 through 7. I'll read verse 4 again. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. Okay? He saved us. He renewed the Holy Spirit. We are reborn in Christ. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and he made us alive. If Jesus blessed us when we were undeserving, what's our task? Well, once they repent and they get their life in order, then I'm going to start being nice to them. Know you not that it's the kindness of God who moves men to repentance? Was Jesus kind to the unkind? When they're nailing him to a cross, what does he say? God, get them. Or does he say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We follow him. He showed kindness to the undeserving, and by showing kindness to the undeserving, they were renewed. They were reborn. The Spirit was regenerated in their lives. Do we want that to happen in the lives of others? If we want that to happen in the lives of others, what's our task? Our task is to be kind to the undeserving. Well, they didn't do that exactly the way I thought it ought to be done. Who made you judge? Are we judged? Judge not that ye be not judged with whatsoever you judge, it'll be measured to you again. Okay? You don't judge. You don't, you know, it's not our task. Our job is to show kindness. He showed kindness to the undeserving. What's our task? Show kindness to the undeserving. Now, what's the role of the Holy Spirit in this whole process? Notice he said in verse 5, he says, he saved us not because of righteous things done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously. Okay? The saving that we have is by the Holy Spirit. Okay? The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Right? We know that. Galatians 5. That's his nature. His nature that he wants to develop in your heart, in your life. And if he develops that nature in you, it's not you, it's him. The Spirit's the one that helps us find the strength to be kind to the undeserving. Okay? And if you're not being kind to the undeserving, you're not letting the Spirit work in your life. Catch that? If we're not being kind, well, hey, man, you don't know what he said about. Yeah, well, what'd you do to Jesus? I nailed him to the cross. What'd you do? Okay, our sins nailed him to the cross, didn't it? And so, am I undeserving? Yeah, I'm undeserving. Well, you show kindness to the undeserving because that's what Jesus did. And that's what he called us to do. And the role of the Spirit, it's the Spirit that accomplishes this. In our lives, we surrender to the role of the Spirit. He can use anything around you to teach you his nature, even a moth. Okay? Now, it says in verse 7, it said he makes us heirs. Okay? Having been justified by grace, we become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. You're an heir. If you're an heir, you're not just an heir to the property, you're an heir to the responsibility. Okay, in Matthew 13:55, it says that Jesus was the son of the carpenter in Nazareth. In Mark 6, verse 3, it says Jesus was the carpenter of Nazareth. Did he take on daddy's responsibilities? Yeah. And then later on, he shared the gospel with the world because he took on his Father in heaven's responsibility, right? You're an heir, not just to the blessings, you're an heir to the responsibility. And he is the kindness of God, and we are the body of Christ, so we are to be the kindness of God, right? That's what he calls us to be. So as heirs, the torch has been passed to us. Okay, we're in the relay race, and Jesus says, here. And he handed off to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Okay, so the church, which is his body, he's passed the torch to us. And now he is continuing to show the kindness of God to the undeserving. And he's doing it through his body on earth, the church. Right? Okay. This is all the same context. Hang on. We're kind of shifting gears. Okay? The kindness of God saved us so we can become kindness. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 is the succinct text that this whole sermon's built on. Verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, which is Paul's way of saying, hey guys, pay attention, this one's important. Okay? Verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things. So again, this is like really seriously important. I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what's good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. I told the kids about a book. Kathy got this little book about this thick called Kisses from Katie. This 18-year-old girl, when she graduated from high school, instead of going to college, she says, Mom, Dad, I really want to go to Africa and just help out missionary. So she went over there, and they basically turned her loose. And she just hugged and loved little kids. Little kids with scabies, little kids with ringworm, little kids with all kinds of problems. And their mamas with HIV positive and active AIDS and all kinds of problems in Africa that on a level that we can't imagine in the United States. But just, she's over there loving people. 30-pound 7-year-olds and 85-pound 40-year-olds. Loving them into the kingdom of God. And she just prepares meals for them, and she bandages up wounds and puts antibiotic ointment on them and puts gauze and bandages over them, and she feeds them. She feeds, when she was 19, she was feeding 140 kids every day. You can't do that. She says, yeah, watch me. Well, she had somebody to help her, but she's like leading this ministry, and she chose some local Africans to help her with this, and it's amazing what she's accomplished. She's got, when she was 20, she had 14 kids living in her home. And the thing that she says that hurt me the most is the courts took a birth mother once she got her kid fixed, okay, and got rid of the scabies and got rid of all the other problems, and now she's healthy, and now she can see, and now she can walk. Her mom came and took her back, and the court gave them to her. And she says, I'm okay, Katie, I'll be okay. Or Katie, Mommy. She called her Mama. And all the other grown-ups in the village, they call her Mama to many. Because all these kids call her Mama. Wherever she goes, she's Mama. You know why? She realized, and by the way, Kisses from Katie, you can get it on, bookfinder.com, which is cheaper than Amazon. Don't tell anybody. Okay, you can get that, and it's an awesome book. We read the whole thing. Well, she read the whole thing to me because I got a nice wife. Okay, but these Kisses from Katie, just an awesome love, and that's what God has called us to be. We have been called to be the love of God in our world. We've been called to be the kindness of God, and we need to be careful to do good. Doesn't say careful to be doctrinally correct. It says be careful to do good, because you cannot be doctrinally correct unless you are being kind and doing good. Okay? It can't happen. Okay? You do good. You bless people's lives. If you're an old grump, you're not the light of the world. The light of the world lightens things up. Okay? Don't be a person that lightens the room by leaving it. Okay. Now, what happens when we're careful to engage in good things? We reprioritize our day. We reprioritize our time schedule. Okay? We schedule in prayer to God and we schedule in kindness to people around us. Okay? Also, what happens is our time schedule gets changed because we might just need to spend extra time with that person we're with. Okay? She'd go into a village, see somebody, and all of a sudden, she's taking care of somebody for 3 days in her home and wrapping bandages and giving kids baths twice a day to get rid of the scabies and the other problems they had. It's amazing the things that she would do to bless people's lives. Okay? That's what God calls us to be. We are to be the kindness of God. And when that happens, our time schedule gets changed. We wind up spending more time blessing somebody. The most important person in the world is the person you're with at any given moment in time, because that's the only person God can use you to bless. So you're careful to engage in good things. Now, how careful are we about being kindness? See, Jesus is the kindness of God our Savior. He calls us to be the kindness of God our Savior, right? We're the body of Christ. That's what he calls us to be. And careful to do good, we're careful to be kind. How are we doing at that? I could improve. Could y'all? We can improve. Like Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, you're doing well, but you can do better. And we can do better. Now, what happens in my day when my goal is to be profitable to all men? See, my goal is to bless you. And by profitable, what if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? That's not very profitable. Anybody want to go to hell rich? Nope. Okay? I don't want to do that. Okay? So, and you don't want your friends to do that either. So if you're going to be profitable to all men, it's not just physically. It's not primarily physically. If you're going to be profitable to all men, it's primarily spiritual. Okay? If you're going to be profitable to all men, primarily it's spiritual. Now, it's in a physical context. Okay? If they're starving to death, you feed them. If they're sick, you help them out. If whatever the need is, you help them out. But in the context of that, you let them know how amazing Jesus is, and he's the reason why you're doing that. When people would ask, say, you know, Katie, why are you doing all this good stuff? She says, because of Jesus. He loved me when I didn't deserve it. That's where you got to be. Okay? I was that person. I needed grace. I needed direction. I needed to be blessed. And now, God has made us to be the kindness of God if we'll be careful to do good and careful to be profitable to all men. Let's go on. Now, if we're going to be the kindness of God, there's some things we need to avoid. And first one he puts on the list is arguing. Arguing. Now, this is especially important in an election year. Okay? It's not about arguing, guys. The more people argue with you about your political persuasion, the more entrenched you become in it. Truth? Yeah. So when you're arguing with them, you're entrenching them. Don't go there. Arguing isn't the kindness of God. Okay? Jesus, you know all those verses in the Bible where Jesus is arguing? Me neither. Okay, verse 9. He says, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Useless. Okay? You want to build sandcastles at low tide? Tried that last week. Doesn't work very well. Okay? Doesn't work. They don't last very long. Okay? He says, this stuff's useless. Don't argue. Oh, it might make you feel good for a while, but you didn't bless anybody. If you're careful to do good, if you're careful to be the kindness of God, if you're careful to be profitable to others, he says, don't argue. Don't get into those arguments. But I know I'm right. Well, they know they're right. They're wrong. And so are you. God's right. We're wrong. You be kind. Now, how does arguing get in the way of being kind? Okay, picture an argument you've ever been in. Did kindness come to the forefront of your mind anytime during that argument? Nope. Okay, while you're arguing, you're out there, go ye therefore and pin their ears to the wall. No! You're going to go be the light of the world. You're going to be the kindness of God. The kindness of God our Savior appeared and He saved us. And He sent us out to be the kindness of God to others. Now, how does living as the kindness of God help us to see arguing as foolishness? It does, doesn't it? When you realize that God called you to be the kindness of God on earth, all those arguments I've ever gotten in, and by the way, I'm trying hard not to argue. The guy at the hotel we stayed at on the way back from Texas, he decided that he needed to show me why it was so important to worship on the Sabbath day instead of on Sunday. Because that's his persuasion. And I tried to find some common ground we could say something kind to each other on. And we finally did. Okay? But arguing, I could take him to the verses and I could show him. No, that's not going to help. You love him into the kingdom. You love him into the kingdom. And if I realize I'm supposed to be the kindness of God, arguing with people is just foolish. It's wasting time. It's spinning wheels. Now, the kindness of God rejects those who cause division. We're still talking about the kindness of God. We're still in the same context. We're still in the same paragraph we were in verse 9. This is talking about doing what's good. Doing what's good tells us to do this. Warn a divisive person once, then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful and self-condemned. The people who cause divisions, not the people who are led away in division, but the people who cause divisions, the people who lead people away in divisions, you warn them, you give them a second chance, and then you don't say anything. You don't say rotten things to them. You don't say rotten things about them. You use your time where it can be of more good. Okay? If you can't remove a boulder in your yard, okay? When I was in Massachusetts, you don't dig a hole in your yard. You know why they have all those rock walls up there? Because they tried to have ground to have a garden in or to plant crops in. And they didn't have ground. They had rocks. Okay, and they dug all these rocks up. And they took all the rocks and built stone walls around all their fields because there's so many rocks. So we got a property out there. We bought a house. And we were going to have a garden in the backyard. You know, and I wanted to put in a post. Well, to put in a post, I start digging down, and I'm not down 4 inches, and I hit a rock. Well, so I had to dig around this rock and pull that one out. And eventually, I got down to a rock. I'm going to take it out. It was like way too big. I couldn't get it out. Now, should I spend the rest of my time digging that rock out? Nope. Cut the post off 8 inches shorter and put it in anyway. Okay? And propped it next to that rock. It ain't going nowhere. Okay? Now, I could have just spent my time spinning my wheels and made a hole 5 foot diameter in my garden and gotten that thing out. Are there better ways for me to invest my time? Are there better ways for you to invest your time? If you realize your purpose is to be the kindness of God, you don't argue with people, it's not going to change. You don't keep rebuking people who've done wrong. They know they've done wrong. Leave it alone. You give them 2 chances and then you say, you're dividing the body of Christ. And dividing the body of Christ is not kind. You stay true to God and do whatever you can to create unity in the body of Christ. Because what does it say in Psalm 133, verse 1? How sweet and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Okay? How sweet and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell and sisters to dwell together in unity. Truth? Because that's the truth, the kindness of God rejects those who cause division. Now, why does kindness warn those who are, it says, self-condemned? Because even though they're self-condemned, you still warn them. And you warn them twice. But you don't spend all your time dealing with that. Because if I spend all my time dealing with divisive people, then I'm not spending it with people who are trying to do what's right. You're supposed to spend most of your time helping the people who are doing what's right, to encourage them, because they're going to do more right than the people who don't want to do what's right. People who don't want to do what's right, you talk to them a couple times and you go do something else more important, because they don't want to do what's right. You do what's right. Now, why would the kindness of God reject a person who causes division? That's real easy. It's the body of Christ. You don't divide it. Yeah, but we hold a different idea on... Is your idea more important than the body of Christ? It's the body of Christ. You don't divide it. Well, we disagree on this stuff. Read the church in Corinth. Read about the church in Jerusalem. Could those guys ever have anything in common? They did. They glorified God together, and they're totally opposite. You don't know two congregations today of the Lord's body that are any more different than Corinth and Jerusalem. Except for one thing. They loved each other. These are all Gentiles. These are all Jews. These guys won't eat pork. These guys, some of them won't eat beef that's been offered to idols. These guys, I mean, they had all kinds of different on everything. These guys, Sabbath day, these guys would worship before dawn on Sunday morning because they thought Sunday was over on Sunday evening. And they didn't get Sundays off. They had to work all day. These guys would worship on Sunday night because they thought that, you know, the calendar went on until the next day. Okay? There's so many differences. Were they still brothers in Christ? Yes. Did they still work together to spread the gospel? Yes. Did they still work together to show kindness? Yes. What's our task? You know what I tell people about people like that? They're our brethren, even if they don't think we're their brethren. And we're supposed to be their brethren. You show kindness. We have been called to be the kindness of God, but don't waste your time with them. Let's go on. Now, the lesson this morning is to be transformed by the kindness of God so that we become the kindness of God. Right? That's what this text is all about. Now, how strongly do you realize your need for kindness? You ever feel lonely? You want to quit feeling lonely? Who could you bless? Go bless them. You will quit feeling lonely. I guarantee it. Go bless somebody. Go be the kindness of God. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, how is the Spirit helping you become the kindness of God? You see, it's not you. It's the Spirit. His nature is God's nature, and God is the kindness of God. Okay? And so the Spirit, is He different in purpose than Jesus? If Jesus is the kindness of God and He's going to send another comforter who's going to be just like the first one we had, is He going to also be the kindness of God? And if He's creating His nature in your life, does He want you to become the kindness of God by His Spirit? Yes. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Okay, I left a couple out, but you got it. Okay, how are you becoming the kindness of God? Spend some time looking at Jesus. That's what He did. Why did He hug little kids? Why did He touch lepers? Why did he help all those people? Because he's kindness to those people. Our job is to be kindness to people. Now, how intent are you about avoiding arguing? That's one I might need to work on. Sorry. I try not to argue, but I used to be so good at it. Okay? You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to be an arguer. Don't argue. Now, how can you kindly rebuke those who cause division? You let them know you love them. I love you. I miss you. I want the body of Christ to glorify God in kindness. And if you want to be a part of the body of Christ glorifying God in kindness, that would be wonderful. I will continue to treat you as my brother who doesn't want to be with me. And you warn him twice and you say goodbye. Now, how are you going to be the kindness of God this week? This is not just some lesson. Oh, yeah, one of these days I'm going to start getting around to that. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the days of provocation. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the time of salvation. Okay? So it's today, right now. What are you going to do to be the kindness of God? Realize that you are here to bless the person in front of you every time. The person you're with. That's why you're here. That's why we're here. If you can bless them with electrical work, you bless them with electrical work. If you can bless them with brown eggs, you bless them with brown eggs. Okay? If you can bless them with knitting, and you know, whatever you can do to bless people, you use what you have to bless people. That's what we're all here for. We're here to bless the person we're with. Okay. So, how can we help you? God wants you to be the kindness of God. He wants it so desperately that he let his son come and die for you. And when the kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. And he saved us not just to have stuff, but to be heirs. Heirs of the responsibility of being the kindness of God. Are you willing to take that on? Yes, baptism is wet and messy and humbling. Had a really heart-to-heart talk with a grandson last week before I baptized him into Christ last Saturday. You want that commitment in your life. I told him, I said, this is the second biggest commitment I ever made. The only one I made bigger was when I died to myself and gave my life to Christ when I was baptized. If you're willing to make that commitment, you can be born in Christ. It's not a ceremony, it's not a sacrament, and it doesn't earn you salvation. It is when you humble your heart to submit to the covenant of being in Christ. Okay, are you willing to do that? If you've already been baptized into Christ and you need us praying with you about something because you haven't stayed faithful, if you have been arguing and not being kind, whatever it is, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.